How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning in to all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's B-I-T dot, that's a full stop, L-Y slash R-T-U ebook, E-B-O-O-K. Get your free copy today before this offer expires.
What is going on, Real Talk University fam? We're super excited to bring you today's episode of the podcast. Super, super pumped up to introduce Brock Rice to our audience. He has a lot of value to share with you guys. A super dope story that I think you guys are really going to vibe with. Basically, he was an entrepreneur since birth, okay? And a very neat aspect of his story was that he dropped out of college. And the story that he tells about how he basically decided to drop out in a very specific moment in time sitting in class was just really cool, really ballsy, but it just shows his commitment to his true passion and to his truth, which he will talk about on the podcast as you guys listen. And he just dropped a ton of knowledge. I mean, he started various businesses at a very young age, like most of you guys are listening and tuning into the episode. And he just offers a lot of advice and a lot of lessons that he's learned through doing so, which I think you guys will get a lot of value from and be able to apply almost immediately after listening to the episode. One of my favorite parts of this episode was towards the end when we asked him, just as, you know, college students, what can we do outside the classroom kind of as a side hustle to make some extra money or just to make an impact on the world outside of our studies? And he really gave us like three concrete quality answers that any of you guys out there can go out and learn how to do and really make an impact and a change in your own lives. So definitely stay tuned for the full episode. I'm sure once you get started with this episode, you won't want to turn it off. He just has a lot to offer. A really dope dude. And as always, guys, we really appreciate you tuning in. We do this for free. We've been doing it completely free for the past 7 months. We don't have advertisers. We don't have any of that nonsense. We're just here to give you guys straight up value. And all we ask for in return is for you guys to share this episode with your friends, with your network, with your classmates, so that they too can be inspired and can learn about the opportunities that are out there outside of the college classroom. So again, guys, enjoy the episode and let's get into it.
So just get right into it. All right. So I'm Christian. This is Andre, and we're basically Real Talk University. We like to interview world-class entrepreneurs and people that have successfully monetized their passions in order to educate not only ourselves, but our college-based audience and see what opportunities lie outside of the classroom. So let's get right into it if you're ready. So the first question that we like to do now is a new thing where we ask two truths and a lie. So if you can give us three statements and we'll try to pick out the lie from the three.
All right. First, I played college basketball. Second, I've been married once. Third, I ran and sold three companies.
I'm going to say the second was the lie.
Second one.
You are right.
Sweet.
I was going to say, like, young, but yeah.
You guys are pretty good. But I have been in a very, very, very long relationship, so it wasn't too far off.
All right. Sweet. So when did you first really discover that you were an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I knew from the time I was very little. I mean, and this seems like a common theme with a lot of entrepreneurs that I'm familiar with. And we all kind of talk and joke about the same stuff. But like, for me, I was making duct tape wallets in fourth grade and selling them at school. And I was mowing lawns and running little businesses since I was like eight. you know. So honestly, it was pretty in me since the beginning. I'd say that I was showing characteristics of being entrepreneurial. And the funny thing to me is just the word entrepreneur has been swayed a lot over the last 15, 10 years. And so I've really been able to kind of develop with the changes. And so I think now it's directing more towards like business, and becoming an entrepreneur really means being like a CEO in all facets of life. And so I don't know, I think it's an ever changing word, but I definitely think I've been an entrepreneur since I was very little.
Awesome. So how important is it to like help people find their why? Like, is that the reason you do what you do, is to help like other people find their passion?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, like at the end of the day, it is the most important thing, because people do not understand how hard it is to do what we do. Okay. Like the energy, the time you put into, like, look, one of my best buddies, Brody Kern, posted on his snap or on his Instagram story last night. And he was just speaking the absolute truth. He was just saying, look, people don't realize the investment you have to put into building a social brand, to building a podcast, you know, to building businesses. And so you commit your whole life to your phone. You become fully sold into your business. You know, I've taken so much time back from relationships, friendships. I don't have buddies. You know what I'm saying? I don't have buddies I just hang out with, because that time doesn't exist. You know what I mean? So understanding your why without questioning is the most important, because with this shit being so hard, if you don't have a strong why as to why you're doing what you're doing, then this is a waste of your time, because you're going to burn out. You're going to run out of energy. You're going to run out of your why. You know what I'm saying? And so in developing that, one of the biggest things I focus on, especially with my clients and personal development, is really understanding and developing your why. Because I didn't have a why for the first, you know, 6, 7, maybe 9 months I was working, and really in the professional field, I didn't have my why figured out. You know, to me, it was, let's make a bunch of money and see what I can do with it, you know? And then it transitioned away from that. When I started making good money, I was like, damn, this kind of, there's no really purpose. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
there's really a whole system I take people through to develop their why. And without question, it's the most important aspect of this whole journey. But you know, foundationally, I think people's why should really be directed at like what you love, what you're passionate about. You know, your why should be pushed by what you want to achieve in order to just live however you want to live, you know, live on your terms. That's my biggest thing. A lot of us really live by that, you know what I mean? And we're trying to build lifestyles that permit us to live however it is that we want to. And so that for me, mostly more than anything, that's probably my biggest why, you know, aside from wanting to support a family and live on my own terms, it's more so than anything. I've just never wanted to work for anybody. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah, so like, I think just one of the biggest reasons why it's so important is because, like, especially in entrepreneurship, like, there's so many times where you're going to be tempted to, like, give up and quit after certain failures and hard times. And, like, if you could always resort back to, like, the reason that you're doing what you're doing, like, that could obviously prevent you from giving up and giving into that kind of stuff. So, like, for absolutely, people out there, like, what are some of your recommendations on how, like, if they don't know what their why is, like, how could they go out and find it?
Yeah, so first, honestly, this is a big aspect of personal development. And so the first thing, most importantly, is you can kind of reverse engineer. You know, you can break down what it is that you love, first and foremost, figure out what that is. You know, I assume, just based on your guys' energy, you love business, you love talking to people, you love networking, and your circumstances didn't permit that. So you did what really smart motherfuckers do, and you built a podcast where you could connect with motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So that's exactly what it comes down to. Figure out what it is that you desire. Reverse engineer the system to figure out what it is that your vehicle is going to be. So, you know, in a lot of development, we talk about getting from point A to point B. Point B is your goal. So whatever you set your goal to be. Right here, I've got Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. If you haven't read it, read it. It's one of the best systems to getting successful. All of the successful people in the world have read it. But essentially, it breaks down getting to your goal. And really what it says is you're going to break down your 6 steps. One of the major keys is that you're going to read your mission statement every night before you go to bed and every morning you wake up. And this is one of the most powerful things people can do. You need to reaffirm yourself every day, every night, that this is your mission. This is where you're trying to go. And so really, I think the biggest thing in people developing their own why is going to be breaking down what it is they love, first and foremost, figuring out how to monetize and build a vehicle. Okay, so basically what we mean in building a vehicle is, if you're at point A right now and your goal is point B, maybe your passion is not your vehicle. Your passion might not get you to your goal. You need to maybe develop some kind of cash producing asset that becomes your vehicle to fund what it is that you love. So I did that. I built some businesses, some CPAs in world-class media that could do digital marketing. And that's not my passion. I'll tell you right now, marketing and developing business and action plans for businesses is not my passion. But I do well at it. And I know that it funds my social platforms that I do love to do. You know, so basically your why should really come down to, it has to be more powerful than anything in your life. If it's not waking you up in the morning, then I fucking promise you it's not your why. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to push you past everything else. And I think on top of that, without question, and I was thinking about this watching a Gary Vee video, and we should dive into this more later in the episode, but my thesis statement for success, period, is that it comes down to two types of people, the successful and the not successful. And the successful do one thing differently. They literally do not allow circumstances to break them down. And when it comes down to it, you always do what you don't want to do. At the end of the day, if you're always doing what you don't want to do, you'll be successful. Because, like, I didn't want to wake up at 5 a.m. this morning, but I did. You know what I'm saying? And when you're training your mind to do what you don't want to do, when it comes down to staying up late and finishing a business plan to land a big deal, you'll fucking do it. When you're lifting one more rep, you're teaching your brain to do more. You know what I'm saying? So these are the kind of little things that people need to focus on that, you know, I've got buddies or old buddies, you know, people that I cut out, and that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, dudes that are like, I want to be successful. I want to get stuff done. I want to make money. But they're not even fucking willing to do one of the small things just because it's uncomfortable, or it's a little bit too hard, or waking up a little bit early is too much. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff pisses me off, because if you actually want it, you're going to do what it takes.
Exactly. And like Ed Milet even says, like, the determinant of like success is how much uncertainty like you can handle at one time. And some people just can't handle it. So it's just really not meant for them.
Absolutely.
So, like, obviously you have a ton of experience. You started really young. So what were some of your main takeaways from some of your earlier entrepreneurial ventures, just that you kind of replicated in your newer companies?
Yeah. So right off the bat, my story is kind of, I left college after halfway through my sophomore year. And that was an interesting change for me. To be honest, college was never really for me. I went to play basketball. It was just kind of, you know, a platform for me to use. But I made some mistakes because I was running companies while I was in school. One of them was called Dimension 6. And honestly, I think it could have been one of my best companies. But I just, you know, I was just not doing stuff the right way. But I would say my biggest number one thing that I took away from making a lot of mistakes is just persistency, honestly, you know, like, I have good ideas, and there's a lot of people out there with great ideas. You know what I'm saying? And like this is a great example of your guys' podcast. You got a great podcast. You're getting it rolling. You've got some good interviews landed. And the mistakes I would make is, like, you know, I'd get satisfied with the creation aspect of it, and I wouldn't push it to the third and fourth degree, you know, and I wouldn't take it to the next step, and I wouldn't keep investing time in it and just pushing through the times where I didn't want to do it. Like, back to what we're talking about, it's the times where I was like, man, I did two lifts today. I've got basketball practice. I don't really want to do any business. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't do that shit anymore. You know, I just, it's all or nothing. So for the people that want success, you better just define yourself and understand that it's all or nothing. If you don't go hard, you're not going to achieve what you want to achieve. It's really that simple, bro.
Yeah, that's really great advice. So taking you back to college, you mentioned you're an athlete. You dropped out. And from my understanding, like, you kind of had like an aha moment in writing 121. So just kind of take us through that moment that was, you were just like, okay, I'm dropping out. Like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a powerful feeling, because I know a lot of people, shit, you guys are in college. You know that feeling of, is this right for me? Should I make a move and go pursue something else? You know, and so I was just sitting and writing. I was writing 121, and we were going through some poetry, just some bullshit. And I was sitting there on my phone watching Gary Vee, and I'm like, and he's talking about, you don't need to do anything for anybody else. You know what I mean? Do what is in your own best interest and make yourself happy. And so I was just, you know, I kind of had some issues with basketball. We had like 3 or 4 teammates leave, some, you know, a bunch of changing dynamics. And as soon as basketball was not in my own best interest, then I knew it had to be changed. So, but I had never really affirmed that to me, you know, so it was weird. I was on the phone watching this video in class, and I just remember thinking, damn, this is the move I got to make. And I stood up from class. My teacher was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm done with this. And she was like, done with this? And I was like, no, I'm done with school. And then she was like, oh, okay, well, then you could leave. And I said, well, that's what I was planning to do. So I got up, walked out, and then really that was it. Like, I literally never went back to class. I never went back to school. I left a day later, like, or 2 days later. I talked to my coach. He supported me. You know, it was all positive. But, man, it's a leap of faith. And one of the best things that I think a lot of mentors can tell young entrepreneurs is that you want to find success, burn the ships. You know what I'm saying? When you sail away, you got to burn everything behind you so you can't turn back. And so that's what I had to do, man. It wasn't like there was going to be no more of just like, all right, I'm going to go to school part-time and try to build my business career. And now I think a lot of people can do that really well. Like, for instance, this is a great example. You guys are in school. You're going to pursue your degree, which is phenomenal. Some people need a degree. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's not the right fit for everybody. And like I said, one of the most successful habits you can do is just burn the ships behind you and commit. You know what I mean? Commit all in.
100%.
So how did your parents and like your teammates take the move that you were dropping out? How did they respond to
that? Yeah, my parents are extremely supportive. You know, they've done well for themselves as far as career. My mom doesn't work, but my dad's a basketball coach. And so, you know, he does well, but they've never in my whole entire life been the monetary support parents. You know, they never give me money. It was always like, you're doing chores, you're doing some kind of work for money. So from a support standpoint, they were like, we love you and we know that this is what you always wanted to do, but just understand that you're on your own now. So Wow. That was, you know, that was big, kind of like, you know, like, whoa, all right, I got to do this type deal. But I knew that was going to be the situation from the beginning, and I'd pretty much been doing it on my own at school. You know, they were giving me $100 or something to just get food or whatever randomly. And so I've been doing it on my own a little bit, but from a teammate standpoint, just like a culture, like around me, my community, it was really supportive because I think people really connect with somebody who has the balls to do it differently, you know, and really like almost I was very outspoken about it and really telling people why it is that I'm doing this. And people were supportive of that, you know? And so I think honestly, it comes down to just speaking your truth. And when people do that, it resonates with other people. And just being transparent and honest and, like, you know, upfront, not trying to be like, oh, I'm fucking quitting because coach wasn't doing this, or, you know, my situation wasn't good for me like that. I just said, look, it's because it's what I want to do, period. And I explain a lot of things to people that way. You know, people want to ask me like this and this and that. And honestly, a lot of times I'm just like, I don't need to explain this to you. You know what I mean? Like, it, like, what matters to me is inside of me, you know, and what matters to you is inside of you, and you don't need to justify that to anybody else, you know. So do what is in your own best interest and don't feel the need to justify it to other people. Like, when my good friends ask me some shit that I don't want to answer, I just say, look, this is not something I need to answer to you, but I'll tell you, you know what I mean? So I always end up following through with my boys, but like a lot of people, I don't. I just say, look, I don't need to tell you that. I don't need to justify this to you. I don't need to explain to you why I'm doing what I'm doing. This is about me, you know, like, and so I had to own that. I was not always that way. Like, you guys don't even know. I was the biggest people pleaser, especially when I was younger, like probably 12 through 17. I was just this people pleaser because I really had this stigma where I felt like people didn't like me for all the wrong reasons. So, you know, all the traditional high school, middle school behaviors, being, you know, picked on, random stuff like that. It's just all the psychological things that contribute to somebody being able to develop this kind of, you know, vision, you know?
Right. So when you left, what were your first steps after that? Did you have a set plan, or were you just trying to figure something out?
So I didn't have a set plan at all. I just decided, like, it literally happened like that. Like, it went from not thinking at all I was leaving, having 3 more years of school, to, all right, I'm leaving, I'm out. So I just got up, left, packed my shit. I ended up driving straight to link up with my girl at the time. She was in Salt Lake. So I just linked up with her, started doing some little ventures out in Salt Lake, like, just doing random stuff, but like just making money, you know, like really enjoying life, make money. There's really no pressure. And this is one of the biggest things I try to get young entrepreneurs to understand is there's no pressure right now. We're young as shit. My biggest advice I give to young people is pretty much one thing. Try a whole bunch of shit and figure out what it is you love to do. You know what I'm saying? Because people don't just find out what you love to do. And that's one of my biggest issues with school is like, you're not just gonna just stick in one career path. At least I don't want to stick in one career path for 50 years and do one thing, sit at a desk, and just be somebody's slave for 50 years. You know what I'm saying? So my biggest advice to young people is to try a bunch of shit. Like I'm telling you guys, I've done every business venture you can imagine, from just random stuff. You know, like I said, building duct tape wallets, doing clothing stores, doing repair facilities, doing marketing advertising, you know, like all the things you can think of, drop shipping, all these things. I literally did them just to see if I enjoyed it. Like stuff as dumb as like getting into drop shipping, selling a few items, doing pretty good in it, and then just being like, all right, I don't really like this, I'm just gonna stop, you know. And it was making money. Everybody would have been like, why are you doing that? But at the end of the day, it's because I really do believe that you got to find what you love to do and then monetize it, you know.
100%. And that's something we stress a lot on our podcast, is like, now is the time to take the risk. Like when you don't have any liabilities and things to worry about, like a family, you don't have like house payments, car payments, whatever it is. Like right now, there's literally no like reason why you shouldn't be taking a risk, because you could just fall back on whether it be a degree or whatever it is. Like you just don't have any liabilities at this point. At least
100%.
So like, have you, like, you've obviously tried so many different businesses, so have you, like, found something that really stuck with you and that, like, you're kind of staying consistent with, or you're still testing the waters?
Yeah, no, so I've been pretty consistent now for about, like, a year and a half. Essentially, when I got back to Boise, I needed to kind of systemize my life and really get consistent as far as, you know, what I'm doing on a daily basis. There was a lot of stuff that I needed to do in order to personally develop myself, you know. So my focus in it is SBMB, spirit, body, mind, business. Those are the categories I really break down in my life. And so that means waking up early, going to the gym, getting the right food in me, you know, getting my work done, getting on podcasts, networking with people. Tomorrow I'm going to Vegas for 13 days, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of stuff are things where you need a system. And so I had to move back, kind of dial that in, and I love being here. So I moved back here with intention. I was in San Diego, I was in LA, you know, so I spent time other places, and then I just kind of figured out that those lifestyles weren't for me. So I moved back here, built out some systems, launched World Class Media really heavy. And so by far my number one ticket item with World Class Media, and this is just great for even you guys, as well as other people watching that are working on developing a brand, is our number one ticket item is our inner circle. And this just kills for people. I don't know why it gets such great results, but it's really positive for people. And, you know, so it's World Class Media as a digital marketing agency, but the inner circle is just a admission to our close group that gives you information on how to develop and grow your brand. So whether that's a podcast, you're a real estate agent, people are starting to see the value in having a personal brand. Like, for instance, the value in me having a personal brand is you guys were able to connect with me. Now I got two friends. You know what I'm saying? So that, like, people don't see the value in it until 2019, when they're seeing sales from a brand, they're seeing themselves land on media platforms from a brand, you're getting deals, money, you know what I'm saying? So by far the best thing we do, in my opinion, other than represent companies, is the inner circle, because I think we just allow people to really blow up their brands, teach them techniques, tricks on how to land huge people on podcasts, you know. So it's phenomenal. And so we systemized that. World Class Media is going really well. Got a business called Elevated Seasonal Services that just, you know, that's a real business that's not really a social brand, but just, you know, deals with like, we work with all sorts of stuff, but really like landscaping, stuff like that. So that's a real business. And then we got World Class Dropouts. That's a social brand. We're doing stuff like we're actually working with Netflix right now, potentially doing like an entrepreneurial entertainment TV show. So we'll kind of see how that stuff follows up. And then the biggest thing we're launching right now is New Era. And that's going to be a fitness team. Ideally, I think it's looking like it's going to be sponsored by bodybuilding.com. And that's going to be some fun opportunity, because essentially, like, just to give you guys some insight as to what's going on is I'm looking to work with Netflix on building a multi-platform entrepreneurial show under one roof. So a mansion, you got a bunch of entrepreneurs there hosting podcasts, YouTube content, Netflix content, running businesses, you know, the whole nine. And so it'll be kind of an advancement to Netflix's platform, I believe, and just allowing like real entrepreneurs to watch it while they're just, you know, kicking it at school, hanging out, working, you know, whatever it is. And so those are kind of some of the things we're progressing to. But, you know, we've got staff now, we've got videographers, photographers. So it's going really well. But, you know, there's a lot of systems behind developing this kind of stuff, because it's hard to transition an idea into a functioning business. You know what I mean? You got all sorts of different assets involved, all sorts of different liabilities. And so it's quite the game changer. You really have to go from entrepreneur to CEO mobile when you start moving into running businesses with employees. You know, you got to pay people. You got to support people's livelihood. So it's really a whole different deal, honestly, once you really launch into, you know, representing other people and hosting big named clients and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like we talked about, if you're going to commit, you got to commit all the way, because it only gets tougher, really.
Right. So going into the like client aspect of things, when did you start coaching people, and then how did you start off with that? Did it go well, or was it rough going at first?
Yeah, honestly, it went really well. I think that's a big correlation to sports. I've always kind of felt like I was a natural leader, in the sense that I really, one of my biggest passions without question is getting people to see their own value, you know, and inspiring people, really, because I love seeing somebody like be like, damn, man, I need to figure this out. And then I talk them through some psychological things, get them to understand some of the trajectory, and then they're like, oh shit, I can do this, you know what I'm saying? Then they get results on their own, and they're like feeling really good, and that's a really positive feeling to give to somebody. So I love that. Really where I started with coaching and personal development is just working with some of my buddies, especially in college, dudes who had maybe been from a different background, you know, had to endure some things that I didn't, that I could have perspective on because I wasn't in it, you know? And so that kind of progressed into, oh shit, I can really help people. So then I offered up some packages to some individuals, and they loved it, and it went really well, and they got some incredible results. So then I kind of systemized it and figured out how I could do more and more and more people. Connected with some great people on the Modi app, great entrepreneurial consulting app, but that was a great foundation for me to start working with people. So like what I would do on Modi is I'd work with people on everything, personal development, transition into their business, and monetizing whatever it is that they love to do. And the Modi app is really cool because you guys can connect with people as well as send transactions. And it's just a great platform, especially for consulting or coaching. So I really just kind of launched with that. And then it just progressed into word of mouth and people, you know, saying, hey, where'd you get your results? Oh, Brock helped me. You know, and then boom, I was just connected to the people. So now at this point, it's really just word of mouth. I don't market it to anybody, because I'm a big believer that like young guys like us aren't coaches. We're not, you know, we're not mentors. We're just people with experience that can share that. And so I just try to deliver as much value to other people as I can. And I think I can do that well through coaching. So really, it's just been a natural progression.
Yeah, that's dope. And then you use the word like systemize a lot. So like, how important is it to like stay organized and have like a narrowed down process to behind everything you do? Like, how has that helped you?
Oh, it's top five most important. You know, it might be number two most important behind having the why. And so if you could see the studio around here, we've got boards and boards and boards of just writing. You know, writing notes, writing right over here. We got 1 through 15 steps to success. We got our dailies. We got our action plan. So building systems is, you know, even I finishing my book, In the Mind of a Millennial, people would just like, you know, a lot of people thinking, oh, I should write a book. They're going to start writing. You know what I'm saying? They're going to start writing down their idea for a book. But if they don't break it down, you're not going to follow through and finish it. So it's like, anytime you're going to take on a task, it really can break down this simple. Anytime you're going to take on a task that's related to a timeline, you need to break down the steps that are going to get you from point A to point B. It's really that simple. You know what I'm saying? And this is one of the great things that I honestly don't know if anybody taught me this, but I just kind of manufactured this idea in my head that this is the best way that I can do things. And I believe this wholeheartedly is I believe that 96% of people know exactly what it is they would need to do to achieve their goal. But a lot of people aren't willing to do what it takes to get there. And so I think the number one thing you can do is sit down and like literally what I do is I pull myself away from my body and just look like from an overview. I look at the assets I have. I look at the connections I have. I look at where I'm at exactly. I look at how much money's in my bank account. I look at what it's going to cost me. Okay. So all these factors get contributed. And then I write down, okay, if I was designing a plan for a person in my position, like a character in a movie, how would I get them from here to there? Literally almost that simple. And I write it down and I write down, okay, they would do this. They would build a podcast. Then they would bring on these guests and then they would monetize this way. And then I just follow that steps. You know what I'm saying? If you don't get it on paper, we all got too much going on up here to follow through on what we wanted to do in our head.
Yep.
You know, because like if you guys are like me, I'm laying in bed and I'm like, oh shit, I got a good idea. And if I don't wake up and write that on my phone and write down the steps like on my phone, I'm not going to follow through with it the next 2 days. 100%. You know? So I think developing systems is crucial. It's crucial to anybody trying to find success. So, you know, like I said, that's the system I use anytime I'm trying to develop a plan. Or, you know, if it's as simple as like, if your goal is to go to a Dan Bilzerian party, right? You would reverse engineer how to get there. Okay. Start a podcast, interview Matt Morgan, ask Matt Morgan to network you with Dan Bilzerian. You're at a fucking Dan Bilzerian party. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a very simple breakdown of how it happens, but that's how I did it. I just gave you exactly what I did to get to a Dan Bilzerian party. Like, that's what I did. I interviewed Matt. Matt connected me with one other guy. Boom, we were there. You know what I'm saying? So you can almost break it down that simple, and people don't get that. But if you just write it down, okay, I did step one, now I'm on step two. Step two, now I'm on step three. And you're going to be there, you know?
Exactly. How insane was that party?
Dude. They're not even funny. I'm not even gonna get into that.
All right. So, like you've been saying, like the system to get to where you want to be, you got to write up the steps. How important was social media in your system of becoming successful?
It was really a big success factor. But you know, at the end of the day, it can destroy a lot of people. You know, like, having the social platform I have, which it's not even, you know, like I'm not even like a top dog. I'm not even in the top group of dudes that are running on social. I'm just right in the middle of the pack where I keep a consistent community. And like I tried to stop committing myself to growing that platform because honestly, like people don't understand what it does to a person to always be thinking about what other people are thinking or thinking about how somebody else is perceiving your message or like, for me, I'm a very like transparent, honest person in the way that I present myself. So I'm always going to be me. But when I'm on Instagram singing, you know, like showing people, hey, this is really who I am. you know, people got a lot to say about that. So, you know, it's tough because you always get people sending you fucked up messages and, like, you know, people will say some OD shit. Like, you'll be shocked at what people say, especially to, like, even me. I'm like, I'll respond to people like, God damn, I'm not even that relevant. Why are you wasting your time sending this shit to me? Like, I don't know how some people spend their time doing it, but, you know, Instagram can be a huge platform for you. I think the my biggest thing, honestly, and I think you guys are doing it the right way, is developing a, like, a third-party platform. Just one platform is the smartest thing you can do. Developing one really good podcast or one really good vlog or one really good Instagram account, you know, where you can stay committed to it, it's the best thing you can do. Because I've spent a lot of time diversifying my social presence. And that, if I could have redone it, I would have redone it. Because I think I didn't do it good enough. You know, like, I have interviews on YouTube with some of the biggest entrepreneurial names in the world, but they didn't get leveraged the right way at all. You know,
yeah.
Rob Dyrdek, Drama. I've got these dudes sitting down with me, but, you know, only a few hundred people have seen it. Why? You know what I mean? Because I didn't put the energy into one platform. But if I re-release those on Instagram TV, you know, it'll get 20,000 views. It'll get 15,000 views. So that's something I'm working towards right now, transitioning to just one platform. But yeah, man, I think social can contribute a lot. You just got to really understand what it comes with. You know, a lot of perception, a lot of commenting, and there's a ton of positives as well, but it's draining. You know what I mean? Like, it is draining because you're posting 2-3 times a day. You can't grow an account anymore unless you're posting 3 times daily at least. You know, so it's an exhausting pursuit, but there is a ton it can bring, you know?
Yep, for sure. Yeah, that's what we've been doing. Like, we have the podcast, and since it's, like, 2 of us, we've just been trying to grow, like, on Instagram and Twitter. But, like, Instagram, like, helps get our podcast more listeners and whatnot, but it's definitely, like, it could be mentally draining just always trying to put out a new post, always trying to make new content. But hopefully it's worth it in the end.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
So, last few questions here. Like, what would you say, like, the top 3 side hustles are right now? For people like us that are just in college and don't have much time on their hands, just to, like, get their feet wet with entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Top 3 side hustles. I think number one, and this is a good one. I used to do this, like, not that long ago either, because it was, like, making good money. I would go on, like, third-party platforms. So here's the ones I used. OfferUp, Nextdoor, Letgo. Facebook Marketplace. So those are 4 of the big ones I used. I would literally go on one of the platforms that I knew people didn't know the value of their shit. So a lot of people would put it for free or put a $50, you know, whatever. I would take a screenshot of, now I don't know, yeah, I think this is all legal. Take a screenshot of somebody's post and I would go post it on another platform for more money because I knew I could negotiate better. I knew I could sell better. And then once I sold it on the other platform, I'd go back to the person who posted it on the first one. I'd negotiate them down to damn near free. And then sometimes I would have them deliver it to the person I would sell it to. So I was making money off these middle of these transactions, but you could do it with almost everything. You know, a lot of people do it with phones. People are buying used phones and selling them for a few $100. So there's all sorts of different assets you can purchase and sell. That would be number one, though, for me. Like, a great market I found for a lot of you guys that could do this if you've got the capacity is like couches. People were giving away couches just because they needed them out of their space. And then, like, here's a great example. One dude gave me a couch for free, this leather couch. I drove like a block and a half with it in this trailer and sold it for like $550 to this other dude.
Damn.
So, and like, literally, this was like a time span of like 12 minutes. So if you know how to sell shit, that's a great one. Number 2, I would say, if you're techie at all, the drop shipping e-commerce model is dying rapidly, but it is a great platform. Like, if you know how to do it, if you know how to run the back end, if you know how to develop a marketing plan and you know a great product, you know, a lot of people are killing it right now with, like, you know, AirPods. Like, you guys are at school. Everybody wants AirPods, but nobody's going to try to spend $200 on them a little bit. So Alibaba, this manufacturer platform from China, you can order literally replicas of Apple AirPods for $1.90. Like, you can get them for damn near free right now on their site. And they work all the same, other than you can't three-click to go back, and you can only be 30 feet instead of 60. So they're pretty much the same product. But, like, for you guys, you get on there, you say, all right, let's spend $400. You're going to get fucking 200 units. You sell them for $50 a piece at school. You know everybody's going to buy them. And then, bam, you just 10x'd your income. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the kind of things that if people just start thinking outside the box, like, it's really obtainable. You know, that's a great one too. And I set my little brother up on that like a week ago. He's gonna trap out headphones at school. So, you know, it's everybody can do it. And then probably number three, and this is a great one for anybody who's got time. And the two things I would say about time, first I'll address the hustle side of it. I think that you can put out like a service on Nextdoor is a great one. A lot of community members use Nextdoor. College kids, it's great. Anytime it snows, you can make a lot of fucking money. Anytime anybody needs to get shit out of their garage, you know, spring or whatever, spring cleaning, you can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Any way you can offer a service, people are going to pay for it. So if you can market yourself, and honestly, it's this simple. If you're a kid sitting there right now and you want to make some money, post an ad on Nextdoor and say, hey, I'm a young kid. I'm working to be this kind of businessman or whatever you want to say, and say, I would love to offer my services to anybody in my community at a low rate. People tip out of this world. I was doing that in Salt Lake. One lady, here's a great example. One lady called me up. She's like a little bit older lady, but like sexy, crazy. And she was like, come over to my house. I need some help. And I'm like, all right. So I show up. She's like, it's in the back. So I'm thinking it's kind of weird. I'm like, well, so if you are doing this, be careful. But she's like, it's in the back. So we go through her house. We go to the backyard. She's just got this like cat sitting in a box. I'm like, oh, shit. She's like, I need you to bury the cat. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, okay, I'll bury the cat. So I dig this hole. Like, this hole's like this big. It takes like, no joke, 5 minutes. Girl hands me $200. I'm out. Like, I'm like, all right. So, you know what I'm saying? People got all sorts of weird shit that they don't want to do that they'll pay you money for. So if you do want to make money, it's so accessible. It's ridiculously accessible. So that would be my number one thing I say about making money. I mean, it pisses me off when people say they don't have money and they want money, because it's never been easier to make money. And so what I would say from that standpoint is people, if you're a young person and you want to be somebody like us, right? You want to be somebody that's pursuing this higher job market or whatever. You want to be a high-class entrepreneur. You want to be a business owner. Okay, and you're not doing shit with your time. If you are one of those people and you're watching this right now, hear me very clearly, okay? Spend some time DMing every motherfucker that does what you want to do and offer your services to them. Give them free time. Everybody would use somebody that's offering free time. So every once in a while, somebody's going to take the opportunity, and then you get to work for somebody, and then opportunities open left and right. Gary Vee talks about it all the time. Gary Vee's got like 6-7 videographers that just offered him free services. Now they're getting paid to work with Gary Vee. So, you know, reach out to guys like me, right in the middle of the pack, who have money to offer you, who have platforms that can propel you, but you're not in a position to do what you want to do yet. But guys like me, other guys that are doing the same stuff, will open up doors for these people, you know, but it's everybody that's laying there like, oh, I just don't have this. And if I had this, I could be doing it. Oh, I wasn't raised the right way. So that's fucking bullshit. It's 2019. The playing field is even. Everybody that owns a phone is immediately on the same playing field. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a great representation of that. Growing up, my dad was a college basketball coach. So when I played basketball, everybody thought that I was just getting opportunities, or I was just good because my dad was a coach, right? So, you know, I'm the leading scorer in the state, and for some reason that contributes to my dad being a coach. Whatever, that's fine. I dealt with that all growing up. But the great thing is that in entrepreneurialism, none of that shit matters. You know what I'm saying? In the business world 20 years ago, if you were a son of a dude with a big business, you're getting a job. You're going to be the president. You're going to rise to the ranks. But now, nobody's talking about that kind of stuff. Nobody's posting on IG with their parents like, hey, you know, it's not like that anymore. So everybody's on this level playing field. You can do exactly what it is that you want to do. You can build, you know, like, I know nothing about YouTube, but you two landed me on your podcast just from reaching out. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's a no-excuses world now, and that's fucking with some people. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people love excuses. They love a reason why they're not doing it, because by all means, it's not them. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people want to project that. Like, hey, you know, this circumstance. I know people literally in my life right now that do that. And you don't want to do that around me, because I call that shit out fast, and I drop people fast for that. You know, so I just think that's the biggest thing that some of these kids, some of these young people, me, you guys, we got to sink that in, that there is no excuses. If you want it, you know, Ariana Grande said it best, you want it, you got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is now.
Fact. That's mad funny. All right. So we just have a little lightning round here where we just ask some questions you can answer rapidly, like one liner, so we'll be out of here. So first, what advice would you give to your 18-year-old self if you could talk to them?
I would say have fun. I didn't have enough fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, in college, I was working. In high school, I was all basketball. And I'm doing it a lot more now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to integrate it. But once it gets serious, it gets serious. So, you know, I'd say that. I'd say just enjoy more. You know, don't be so, oh, fuck, what am I going to do next? Just all the young people, enjoy your fucking life and just take it one step at a time. Figure out what the next step is.
Sweet. So what's the best advice you've ever received? And then what's the worst advice someone's ever told you?
Best advice I've ever received is, I would say, honestly, the best advice I've ever received is from one of my high school teachers, who is a lot more than a high school teacher to me. He was like my boy. He would take me fishing and shit. But his name was Schultz. And he just told me, just be Brock. You know what I'm saying? Like, he saw in me what I've now seen in myself is just that I was this people pleaser. I was trying to get people to like me. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to get people. I moved here at a transition period where, you know, it's all that shit. And so I was just trying hard to get people to like me. And so he just told me to be me. And once I owned that, once I was like, oh, fuck, I'm like, I can do whatever I want to do. And that will resonate with people way more. And that was the best advice anybody gives me. Because then I just started doing me unapologetically. You know what I'm saying? Like, as cliche as it could sound, that's what it's about. It's just doing whatever it is that you love. And then the worst advice, the worst advice I've ever gotten is, like, I wouldn't even say I've ever gotten the worst advice, but the best advice I could offer people to stay away from the worst advice is that you can't listen to everybody. You know what I'm saying? You should only listen to certain people, and that is people that you want to be like. If they're doing what you want to be doing, then you can listen to them. But if they're not doing what you want to be doing, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't even waste your time listening. Facts.
Yep. All right, so what's the best purchase you've ever made that was $100 or less?
Best purchase I've ever made, $100 or less. Fuck, it's probably got to be like a food. Because every time I'm like, you know, like, oh my God, that was like a good burger randomly or something. Like, I'm like, oh my God, that was the best $20 I've ever spent.
Yep.
I don't know, something like that. Maybe like best thing under $100 I've ever bought. That's pretty tough. Best thing under $100 I ever bought was this stripper in Vegas, probably. I'm just kidding. Probably like, yeah, I don't know. That's a super tough question. What do people usually answer?
AirPods, self-development courses,
okay.
Like, yeah, equipment, like just like basic stuff. I don't
yeah
know. It's a tough yeah question.
Oh, this mic was under $100, so that was a really good deal.
Yeah,
sweet. Looks yeah cool with the little
yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah. All right. So last one, what would you put on a billboard for the whole world to see? Like if you could put a message up.
That's a good question. Honestly, bro, I would put a big ass picture of me pointing right at you and I'd say, speak your truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, not enough people do that. Not enough people speak what's inside. And I think that's sad. I think that people are scared of what other people think. I might put fuck our modern world, honestly, because there's a lot of fucked up aspects of what's going on around us. But, you know, that pertains to the same thing. Like, people need to speak what is inside. You need to tell the truth. You need to really project what it is that is authentically inside of you and not what this world's made. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think by far the best thing that I love Gary Vee talks about, and honestly, like, I really only look up to like two people in this world, and Gary Vee is one of them, because he operates how I feel like I operate, which is like, I just tell everybody exactly what it is that's on my mind. I tell people exactly what it is that I believe is my version of the truth. You know, and I never lie. I never lie to people ever. I tell them all the time exactly what it is that I feel. I tell them exactly what it is that I know. And if I don't know, I don't speak. You know what I'm saying? It's not my position to speak on it if I don't know about it. So really, I think that more so than anything, it comes down to people speaking what it is that is inside. Because each of you got your own message. Each of you got your own story. Everybody's got their own perspective. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a big factor for people.
For sure, bro.
That's sweet.
That was awesome. That was a good way to wrap it up.
Well, you dropped a lot of knowledge. That was really awesome. Great to hear you talk about everything, really.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.